Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Are you ready? It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne Comics.
Welcome to episode 503 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of Jay Magnum from the Astral series of books and stories. He's got a Kickstarter going on right now for Astral Vengeance. It's for the first issue in that series, so you're going to want to get there and support that as soon as you can. Of course, he has 3 other volumes already done. It's 133 pages of terrific story of science fiction and action, and this one has a little bit of a different twist to it, which we discuss. We talk about conventions and personal appearances and how he's handling that, as well as other things in the astral universe. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. As always, please be sure to pay attention to what he's saying, and don't let my voice bother you. I'm making progress behind the scenes, but right now, it still sounds a little different, but don't let that distract you from the wonderful interview. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show.
What would happen if Earth was attacked by aliens called Astrals, but there were no superheroes to stop them? Well, that's what Astral is all about. But now it's time for vengeance. Astral Vengeance.
It's always a pleasure to talk with Jay Magnum from the Astral series, which is extremely successful. And in fact, that's a Kickstarter going right now. It's already met your goal. How's it going, Jay?
Oh, hey, yeah, Wayne, it's great to be here. It's great to be here again with your listeners. Yeah, things are going really good on the Kickstarter. We've been in for a little over a week now, and we've already surpassed our funding goal, so pretty happy about that.
You got stretch goals coming?
Absolutely. In fact, at this point, we're just about to hit the first one, so the first one is a bookmark.
Cool. Well, let me read the description that's on the Kickstarter campaign.
Sure.
Go ahead. It says, the story, from the edges of heaven to the depths of hell, an old fiend from beyond the grave commanding an army of demonic undead swears vengeance on, is it Lila or Lila?
Lila. It's
Lila. Against Lila and the Astrals, but with the scheming architects plotting revenge of their own, can Lila and her remaining human allies stop the horrific beast from devouring Earth, or will their plague of evil infect the entire galaxy? Which is great. Now, if you go on Kickstarter, it's Astral Vengeance.
Like we Correct. Can
go yeah. there and do mm-hmm. that. So, let's see. How long did it take to get your goal, by the way?
I believe we reached it in about 6 days, so not quite a week.
That's good. That's great. There's that those kinds of things. Now, as we're talking, of course, people always get mad I don't say this soon enough. The project will only be funded if you reach your goal, which you already have, by Friday, October 15 at 11 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Correct. Yeah.
So now we're into the good part. This is where the fun stretch goals happen and all kinds of things are possible. So I think that's really great. So it's called Astro Vengeance, Issue 1, Sci-Fi Action Horror / Thriller. So, mm-hmm. Yep. And based on the previous books, I'm excited. Now, this is the first issue of the fourth volume, right?
Correct, yeah. Uh-huh.
So that'll be good, because now, are you going to do that? Is that the way you've done it in the past, individual issues, or have you done trades?
Primarily, we have done trades. So for the first three, which were really designed as graphic novels, Astral Genesis, Astral Evolution, and Astral Alliance, they were all initially published as graphic novels, 120-page graphic novels. But on this one, on the new adventure, we have gone to issues, comic book issues. Yep.
Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, there is. It's just that I really want to get more astral material to people quicker. And okay. The graphic novels are great, but they take years to develop.
Yeah.
Right. So we doing it this way, doing the issues, we can have a couple, maybe three Kickstarters going per year and kind of getting the issues out, pipelined out to people. So it's just a way to get more material out quicker, and that way people don't have to wait years. And then, you know, the other side of it, too, is it gives me an opportunity to work with a lot of other really cool creators, and we'll get into this a little bit, but to do variant covers, right? Which I can do a lot more variant covers with issues than I can with graphic novels.
Right.
And then, of course, beyond that, so with comic book issues, 22-page, 24-page, ours are 24-page, the grading services, PGX, CBCS, CGC, they will slab comic books. I believe that CGC, I believe, is the only one that actually slabs thicker books like graphic novels. So, like, if I wanted to slab any of the previous Astral books, I would have to go CGC. But since we're going to issues now, people out there, collectors, would have the ability to go to any of the three major comic grading services. And, you know, Signature Series is very popular, so, you know, I do that. I go to the conventions and I can sign them in front of the grading service representatives, and they can do like a gold label or whatever, Signature Series. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason we're doing it too, because comic books are easier to and facilitate, you know, the grading services.
Yeah, believe me, it makes a difference if they're graded and if they're I always get a kick when people get them and they want to read the book after they get it slabbed. And I'm like, well, you got to buy another one for that. You don't want to pull the thing apart. It doesn't go back together very nicely. So you've got to get two if you want to read.
Exactly. And so we've kind of structured the Kickstarter that way. So the tiers for our print comic books for Astral Vengeance Issue 1 are in fact sets of two. So you get, you know, one that's more collectible. So most of the levels that we have for the variant covers and the basic level have the regular titled version with the, you know, the Astral Vengeance logo. And then you get a copy without the logo, which in the industry they call it, you know, a virgin cover because it's virgin art. You haven't laid any copy or text or names over top of it or logos. So that was our thinking exactly. So you get one as a, you know, quote unquote reader copy, right? And then in this case, probably the titled version. And then you've got like your virgin copy, which is more collectible. We're printing less of those. And those are the ones that you can take to the conventions and we'll sign them and you can get Signature Series and all that good stuff.
So you're unique in the fact that you want people to read your comic rather than just slab it.
Well, I'd certainly prefer it. And you know, I would also mention too, so with, as we've done in the past with Astral Genesis, Astral Evolution, Astral Alliance, there are digital versions of Astral Vengeance Issue 1 that will come along with, you know, like if you back or pledge for a physical comic book, you'll get a digital version as well. So that, you know, could stand in to be your reader copy if you like reading it on your computer screen. And then if you wanted to, and I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas here, don't go crazy with it, but you could potentially even slab both of them, you know, both that you get in your reward tier set, and you can still read the digital. So yeah, but to answer your question, yeah, I mean, the Astral comic books and graphic novels have always been about, you know, the story and the reading and the characters. It's a very character-based and very relatable series. So to answer your question, yeah, I mean, I really want people to read the stories and be happy with the stories and let me know what they think about the stories.
Because I know so many people who buy the books, and then the next step after the store is to get to CGC and get them slabbed. And I'm like, well, what did you think of the book? Well, I can't read it, of course, because it's slabbed. I'm like, well, good for you. But the bad news is you know, the whole point of a comic is that you get to read the thing, you know? So I'm always, how do you know something's really good or going to be valuable if you don't get to read the story and get to understand why people want to have these copies? So I'm grateful that when I hear people like you wanting to get people to read it and focusing on getting readers, I'm always thrilled about that, because I just think that there's just too many people who, you know, believe in the CGC thing. And I do know some creators, though, if you take a book to them, they will look at it and go, is this for CGC? And they go, yeah, well, I'm not signing it. They want them to read the book. So I you know, I am all for reading the book. That's how I grew up reading. I read these books and I got to enjoy them. And I just think that people need to, I really think you got to do those kinds of things. You know, what's the point of having people buy a book if they don't read it? You know, if, you know, are we just going to print them and then just turn them over to CGC, you know, immediately? I don't think that's the way to make a comic book or to make an industry that's going to be something that people will enjoy. I don't like that. Because what happens if you actually get to the book and you open it up and then there was a printing error and there's all the pages are blank inside?
I hope that CGC would catch something like that.
I hope so.
But, you know, it's true. And, you know, there are really a couple of different markets. I mean, there is that market out there that of people that just like to collect covers, you know, for whatever reason. And nothing against that. In fact, that's one market that we definitely want to cater some of our products to. And, for example, I mean, just give one, you know, out of the current campaign. So Bill Walco, who is the guy, you probably know Bill, he does the Hero Business online comic strip series, and he has done a couple of Kickstarters. Actually, I believe just this past week he launched his Kickstarter for his third and final volume of collected strips, online strips for the Hero Business. So definitely get out there and look at Bill's project as well. But Bill did a cover for us, a variant cover of homage to vintage comic Amazing Spider-Man 129, which is, of course, everyone knows that's the first appearance of the Punisher. And I mean, there, you know, when I was displaying it as a promotional thing, people were private messaging me and stuff, and hey, how can I get this cover? So, you know, I know people collect stuff just for covers, and that's okay. You know, I have nothing against it. Just like, you know, the other reward tiers we have, the Bill Walco level, you get two books. That one, there's no variant, there's no titled and virgin version of them. You just get two, but it's the same thing. You get one to read, and you get one to go take to CGC if you want to do that. So, I mean, nothing against that. I mean, if that's something people do.
No, they certainly help the market, because like the book that I was helping with, Savvy Bunny, the collectors suddenly decided, holy smoke, and that was not the word people used, we got to have those books. And they literally, you know, went from store to store getting every copy they could. And so Stabbity Bunny became the first, early issues were very hard to find. And man, these people just, of course, they slabbed them immediately and they got onto eBay and stuff like that. And they're going for hundreds of dollars. There was a set of like 1 through 9, I think it was. And it sold for a couple $1,000. And we were like, what?
Yeah, Stabby Bunny, that's Richard Rivera, right?
That's right.
Okay, yeah, I know Richard. He's a good guy. I enjoy his series, but yeah, definitely what you said. It can get a little crazy. It can get a little bit out of hand sometimes with that stuff. So,
okay, sure. See, I'm the other direction. I Dan Doherty, who does a book called Touching Evil, it's about a woman who has a curse, and if she touches anybody physically who is evil, they die and their spirit goes into her, not consciousness, but like her I don't know.
Like life force or something?
Well, they live in her memory or something like that. So a whole bunch of other people who died interacting in this thing, not in her conscious mind, but in her subconscious, I guess. And so I love that book. I'm fascinated by it. I actually supported the first hardcover he did, and I forgot all about it, and I moved. And I guess it came to my house after I moved, and I didn't realize. And then when I later came back to it, I said, you know, this book is so familiar to me. But I looked, and there I was in the list of people who had contributed. But the interesting thing was I was so anxious to read the story. I saw him out at Seattle, and I said to him, what do I have to do to get a copy of the book? He said, well, you know, I got to really work for the collectors. You know, I got to give them the good copy. I said, well, give them all the good copies. You got a copy that has all the pages, and I don't care if it's been sat on or what. Just if you'll send it to me so I can read the story, that's all I care. And he sent me one that was rather beat up, but that was okay. I got to read the story. And I was happy. So I'm that way about it. I really believe in the storytelling, because how do you know that a book is worth something if you don't read the story?
For sure.
That's why your books, I highly encourage people, get the books. That's why I want hardcovers. I ordered, I think, the hardcovers, and they haven't come yet. Yep. But I'm looking forward to them. When they get here, I'm patiently waiting. They'll come, and when they do, I'll be happy to have them.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that. They're actually starting to ship out now, so you should have yours real soon, probably within the next week. And, of course, what happened there was we got some shipping delays because of the malady, which cannot be named. and it's wrecking havoc with the employees and staffing levels of the shipping services. So we did get the hardcovers in finally, got them a little bit late, so they're shipping out a bit late. But, they're shipping out, so everybody will have those.
It'll be worth the wait. I can't wait to get them. I'm really looking forward. Now, I've got to ask about this. Is this the Bill Walco stuff, the Galaxy Gal stuff?
Well, he did the artwork for it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's called Galaxy Gal, and the girl is blonde, where Lila is dark-haired. So is that a version of her, or is this another person? Who is this?
Well, so that's sort of part of what we're doing here. Let me explain a little bit about that. So anyone who's read the series, even going back to the very first book we did, the very first graphic novel, Astral Genesis, I introduced Galaxy Gal as the comic within a comic. Mm. So that's what it is. Mm. So Galaxy Gal is a comic book series within the Astralverse, right? There are comic books that the characters, Galaxy Gal comic books that the characters within the Astral series pick up and read from time to time. And so what I wanted to do with this one is a couple of things. The pages, so we have a Galaxy Gal intro, which is the first few pages of the Astral Vengeance issue one. Mm-hmm. So it serves twofold, really. It's to introduce the character of Galaxy Gal and build her out a little bit, because we've only just seen her here and there and mentioned a little bit within the previous three books. Mm-hmm. And it's also to kind of show off, you know, the art style and, mm-hmm. and kind of try it out and see how it goes. And if people, you know, really warm up to Galaxy Gal, then, you know, that might be something that we think about giving her own issue in the future, somewhat of a potential spinoff. But we've never really done any dedicated pages to Galaxy Gal, but the series, it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I envisioned it years ago when we did, like I said, Astral Genesis. And, of course, it was just kind of very at a high level. We didn't really ever dig deep into the characters because you didn't have to. But over the years, I started thinking, well, you know, your mind just goes to interesting places sometimes. And I kept on thinking, well, who is Galaxy Gal? What does all that mean? You know, and what if it really was a comic, you know? And so there's a little blurb, I think, on the Kickstarter page. But as my brain built out the Galaxy Gal universe, it gives us a chance to get a little more wackier with it. Because Galaxy Gal, I envisioned it as like a series that started in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And you can see some of the artwork that Bill's done for it. You can see out there on the Kickstarter page. And he did a very late 1960s-esque, you know, artwork mm-hmm. style. Mm-hmm. And we sort of visualize the design for Galaxy Gal to be like Emma Peel-ish, you know, fun and mod and late 60s type stuff. Mm-hmm. And we get a chance to be really, like I said, wacky and over the top and mm-hmm. campy. And, you know, the villain's name is Dr. Deathbeam and he goes around blowing up planets. So it's kind of like a crazy, weird Jetsons Flash Gordon kind of, you know, thing, mm-hmm. Which is really a lot of fun. And we had never really done anything like that. You can't really do anything like that in the Astroverse itself mm-hmm. because Astral is so grounded. And I think mm-hmm. that it's a good thing because it makes it relatable to people. Mm-hmm. But we had a chance to kind of get a little crazy with the Galaxy Gal stuff. So,
you know, some of the stuff I recognize, I tell you how old I am. If you look at the cover, there's a checkerboard.
Yep, check.
Across the top. Checks. That's what DC mm-hmm. did back in the 60s, that right after the Batman show went off yep. the air. They did that. And, of course, you got the Comics Code Authority mm-hmm. symbol. The Pet Piranha comics is a symbol is resembling the DC one.
Sure.
So all kinds of fun little – and the layout is very similar. So
yeah, really and, like and also the you see what Bill did there with the Galaxy Gal logo. Mm-hmm. It's in those kind of shimmery, wavy type of typeface that got used on a lot of stuff back then, like Lost mm-hmm. in Space. And, mm-hmm. So he did a really good job. I mean, Bill does really good with period stuff. That's why he was ideal for these pages that we did. And what's really cool is what you'll see in the comic book when you finally get it is mm-hmm. we've got an aging filter, right, that makes it look mm-hmm. like it's whatever, yellowed, mildewed, whatever, right? So the pages, when they are actually come out in the comic book, mm-hmm. they'll look like, you know, vintage 1960s comic pages.
Gotcha.
So that adds a really nice effect to everything, and it fits with all the period stuff, and it's great.
Do you ever read Supreme? Supreme used to do that, where they had older stuff that was supposed to be in the comics. They would make it kind of a yellowish.
Yeah, that's right.
Paper.
You remember that now? Yeah, for sure.
That was kind of fun. Now the thing I have to made me smile the most was the price, 12 cents.
a real 1960s price.
Yes, I bought many comics for 12 cents. I remember that price. So when I saw that, I had to smile. I said, "Oh man." That is so. I remember those days. I remember going to supermarkets and pharmacies and buying comics on their little magazine stands, which you don't see anymore. But that just brought back a lot of memories to me. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, it's really nostalgic, and we can have some fun. And, you know, we have some fun even building out the Galaxy Gal universe. So, you know, the title is Galaxy Gal, and mm-hmm. the character's name is Commander Gal Gallant. So GG, and so when we say Galaxy Gal, it's, you know, could be a reference, like a 50s reference to, you know, mm-hmm. female, right, Gal. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Gal is her name. So.
Mm-hmm. Very good, very good. Of course, I like
play on words.
You know me and female leads. I love a female lead. So when I saw that was a female lead, I thought that was a little bit of today's sensibility into the older comics. Were there actually many? I don't remember many comics that have female lead back in that era.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think that's kind of how we can have some fun with that. You know, mm-hmm. if we move forward with it in any detail, I mean, we mm-hmm. could potentially take the angle to make commentary on, I don't know, the 60s roles of women versus today. Yeah. You could get into that. But, you know, really, the first and foremost, the idea behind Galaxy Gal is to have fun with it and to have the kind of over-the-top, campy fun that we – it just wouldn't be appropriate or wouldn't be able to get it into the Astroverse proper, right? Because right. Astral tends to be, like I said, more grounded. It tends to deal with more complex issues, more gravity, certainly, if you pardon the pun. Mm-hmm.
Much more realistic.
Yeah, exactly. So we leave the fun stuff and the over-the-top stuff. We can leave that. We can actually do that, you know, with the Galaxy Gal. gal comic.
Yeah, which is fun. I mean, you want to do those kinds of things. I don't mind. Every once in a while, I see somebody put out an homage comic, and I buy it, and I read it, and I have a laugh. You know, I enjoy it very much because, I enjoyed those days. That's what got me reading, and, you know, the thing that's so interesting to me, I often tell the story. The first book I ever read was a Batman annual that was in the basement of our house. Somebody had bought it, and it was downstairs away from everything else, and I picked it up, and, you know, Frank Miller said when he opened up a Batman book, he fell in. And that was my experience. I was no longer in my basement. I was in, he was in England, and he had built a, like a glider thing that he flew around this castle trying to monitor it and stuff like that with this glider on his back. And I was just like, oh, wow, look at that, you know? And I just, to this day, I still remember that moment when I saw that. And that's, you know, I agree with Frank Miller. I fell into the book, and I have still been in there in my whole life, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I know a lot of people feel that way. And like I said, this, including an intro, a few pages at the beginning of Astral Vengeance to dedicate to Galaxy Gal. We're having a lot of fun with that. But, you know, that's kind of sort of litmus test of how would Galaxy Gal do if we did a dedicated comic. Mm-hmm. I've had a couple of people message me, you know, through the Kickstarter and stuff and say, so what is this Galaxy Gal? And, you know, are you going to do, like, kind of like you said, you're kind of asking, are you going to do a dedicated comic and kind of to gauge the interest? And there has been a lot of interest. So I'm really glad to see that. So, I mean, I'm feeling more and more like maybe what we ought to do is do a Kickstarter campaign and Indiegogo maybe next year for like a Galaxy Gal issue one or something like that. That might be fun.
See, knowing how you do Astral, if you did that smartly, and I'm sure you would, I think there's an audience for it. I really do. It may not be as big as Astral, but I think you could still, you know, make a few shekels with it and, you know, and have some fun.
It certainly seems to be. I mean, like I said, the people messaging me, people are, there's definitely interest in it. So, I mean, if I stuck it out there on Kickstarter, I'm sure it would get pledges. Not sure how many. Not sure if it would be mainly the people like us, Wayne, in our age bracket who remember the 60s and 70s would be the ones going for that, or whether it would appeal to a younger audience. I think maybe it has to do somewhat with the art style, too. I don't know that 100% if we'd stick with the 60s style or go with something, you know, in between or a little bit more modern or something, maybe to appeal to the younger crowd. But these are things to think about. Maybe for next year if we decide to do something like that.
Well, I always appreciate people who take a chance like that. I think that's wonderful. Now, what important things we should mention, too, because I've already signed up and pledged for the first issue, but I already have the three previous volumes, and there's one's Astral Genesis, number two is Astral Evolution, number three is Astral Alliance. Right. And they're all great books, and you can get those books as part of this campaign, which is a great thing to do. If you have not, for some reason, been able to get the books and read them, I think you're going to really enjoy them because they're just terrific action-adventure kind of stories. Great characters, lots of development going on. And I just think it's a great book that I think, I don't care your age, I think you're going to really enjoy the book because there's lots of good things going on. A little too young might be too young, but I think teenager and above, I think are going to really enjoy this action adventure type story.
Yeah, I would agree. And like I said, it is a very grounded, relatable, character-driven, character-based series. And the characters are very different. They're, you know, such that they – and some of them kind of get thrown into the situation, like, you know, Lila, she's the astral human hybrid who started off as one of the enemy. And we have Devane, who's kind of a down and out loser, but, you know, he always figures out the right thing to do. And, you know, we have Jeannie, and she's the smart academic type. And we have Rob, who's the kind of the Russian hacker, you know, kind of does the underground thing. And then in Evolution, we get introduced to Angelica, who is the deaf rebellious daughter of Jeannie, and she's a quite a hellraiser, despite not being able to hear or speak. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the point is the characters are very different, and because they are very different, they have different ways of approaching situations, and, you know, it leads to a lot of, you know, bickering and whatever, right? And so you get, the way I describe it to people, is you get like a Guardians of the Galaxy type vibe. There's a lot of that. And I should say that, you know, for Vengeance, we're doing something a little different as well. You mentioned taking risks. Well, so Vengeance isn't your typical. It's not going to feel exactly like the previous books, but I think in a good way. So we sort of decided to go, and you read the intro a little earlier. We're going down more of a horror action thriller, you know, kind of thing, which is a direction we haven't gone before, but I think you're going to find it very satisfying. We have a very good story for this one. And I think it's really cool to see. I mean, we've kind of had, you know, in the first three books, the trilogy that I call it, that was our last Kickstarter. We had the trilogy, the first three books. There are common threads between all the first three books, and we're kind of taking it in a different direction with Astral Vengeance. So give you a little something different. Throw the characters into a lot different of a situation that they've ever been in before. And, you know, let's see what happens. Let's see how they handle it. So I think it's going to be something people are going to want to see and read.
It's kind of blending sci-fi action and horror, which is a good thing to do. Well, the Star Trek and other science fiction have always loved to put their characters through horror.
Yeah, and you know,
salt creatures and all that stuff.
It's funny you should mention that. Let me just quick sidebar here. So I was looking the other day and I realized. So this podcast is probably going to end up coming out on Sunday. Is that right? Would that be like Sunday the 26th of September?
We're recording it this Sunday. Yep.
Okay. So on the 26th, I was just looking up a few things, and I noticed that September 26, 2001 was when Star Trek Enterprise debuted 20 years ago. And when I saw that, it was like, you mentioned feeling old. Well, man, when I saw that, I was like, oh, my God, I'm like so old because that was the last of the Rick Berman series, you know, and I still remember that stuff.
Yeah.
And when I was like, oh, my gosh, Star Trek Enterprise is now 20 years old, and I was like, you know what? I feel really old now.
it's an interesting thing to me because, you know, Star Trek is something that somehow is able to continue, even doing, you know, with changes going on in you know, fandoms and what people expect out of it. It's still, you know, they've got multiple shows going on. They got Picard, they got Discovery, and then they're going to have this new series, which is based back with the pre-Kirk era. And then now, and they're also doing, you know, this animated show.
Yeah.
And so there's all this stuff going on, and I'm always like, you know, and people say, oh, we like science fiction. I'm like, yeah, right. And I said, just don't look at Star Trek then, because it's going to shatter your worldview. But this is like with Astral Vengeance, I think you have a chance to shake things up a little bit. And I always enjoy that. I like to see something a little different.
Sure.
And I think this is going to be great.
Another way that we're shaking things up a little bit, too, is we're doing something a little different this time around. And I think we're going to do it going forward as well with our future campaigns, our future crowdfunders, which is that for the first time funding, you know, a new book. We're doing like when the Kickstarter completes on October 15th, a few days after that, we're going to launch an Indiegogo. And we did do one for the Astral Trilogy last year, but it was something that just kind of came up last minute. And, hey, why don't you throw something together and we'll go out there and see what, you know, we can do just as a proving ground. How well will it do on Indiegogo? And Astral did so well. We did the trilogy, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was kind of like I don't want to say an afterthought, but it was kind of like, you know, most of this images and things you did and packaging for Kickstarter, you know, you could probably use 90%+ of that and port it over to Indiegogo and do it there. So what the heck, let's try it. And it was a phenomenal success. And I want to tell you know, for the people who are out there that are thinking about this kind of thing, if you do crowdfunding on Kickstarter and you're not, you know, on Indiegogo or haven't done an Indiegogo, a lot of what you're doing for Kickstarter – could apply. You know, you could just easily port over like images and you know, your packaging for your tiers, reward tiers and stuff like that. But we had it was a phenomenal success. And the way I feel like going forward, it's like if we don't also do an Indiegogo, it's like, you know, you're almost, you know, leaving money on the table. But it's not just the money. When we had the Indiegogo campaign going last year for the trilogy, the Astro mm-hmm. trilogy, I had a few of the backers that backed our Indiegogo campaign reach out to me via messaging and email and stuff. And it was like, they were just like, you know, Jay, thank you. Thank you for bringing Astral to Indiegogo, because for various reasons, you know, we don't do Kickstarter. Either they had been burned on Kickstarter stuff, and so they mm-hmm. deleted their account and they're off of it, and they only do Indiegogo, or they just – Indiegogo was always the first crowdfunder they did, and they never looked into Kickstarter because why are you on two platforms? Mm-hmm. And I was surprised. I mean, but like in a good way. I was like, wow, I never even realized that there were people that were on Indiegogo that never even maybe looked at Kickstarter, and they're thanking me for bringing – you know, thank you for bringing this great – series here. So because otherwise, you know, if you hadn't brought it to Indiegogo, we never would have seen it or gotten the books or anything. And so what we're doing this time around with Astro Vengeance issue one that we didn't do last year was we actually have a planned campaign this time around for Indiegogo. So when the Kickstarter completes on October 15th, a few days later on October 19th, the Indiegogo will kick off mm-hmm. and that'll go through November 19th, right? Mm-hmm. So we have like a month on Kickstarter, a couple of days break, and then we go back on Indiegogo. But the difference is now the campaigns will be 100% the same. So, or as close as possible anyway. So mm-hmm. basically everything that you see and can get on Kickstarter will offer the same thing on Indiegogo, which we did not, it was not 100%, didn't line up the last time, but mm-hmm. It will this time. And I think we will do that going forward. And it's, it, again, yeah, it's the money. You want to get, you know, all the support you can, but I mean, it's also for the people that, you know, picked up the trilogy. And I mean, I'm sure they want more as well. And I want to be sure that our fans, our new fans, who I'm really happy to have, honestly, on Indiegogo can continue their astral adventures as well. So I'm really happy to be doing a, you know, sort of a Kickstarter first and then skip a couple days and then go into Indiegogo. And I will say, for people that maybe knew about Indiegogo, but didn't really, I mean, they thought maybe it's like the Pepsi to the Coca-Cola that was Kickstarter. I've actually configured the campaigns on both platforms, and I can tell you, just about anything that Kickstarter can do, with a few exceptions, Indiegogo can do now. So like add-ons, they have a facility for that. Mm-hmm. So Indiegogo, in my opinion, props to them. They've really matured, I think, as a crowdfunding platform. So anyone who's listening to this that you know, is currently either backing projects on Kickstarter or even running Kickstarter projects out there, don't overlook Indiegogo. Indiegogo is terrific. It's a great bunch of people out there. And so going forward, you know, with Astral Vengeance 1 and then with our future campaigns that we do next year in 2022, mm-hmm. We're going to make sure that we host our projects on both platforms for mm-hmm. that reason.
I have to second that, because there are things on Indiegogo that I haven't seen on Kickstarter. And I could name names, but I always hate to do it when things are done. It's kind of frustrating when you go there and it's, you can't get it there. But there are some that are done just like you're doing. I've seen people take their Kickstarter, and as soon as the Kickstarter is done, they go to Indiegogo and run one. So I think you're doing a smart thing. I've seen a couple of other series do that. So, you know, I think that's the way to go. I mean, you know, hey, this is all about getting eyes on your product. That's what it is. And so,
well, sure. And I would further say, you know, people have asked, I mean, I've kind of broadcast my plans out there, and I've said, well, we're going to do, you know, the Kickstarter in October, November, and then we pick up the Indiegogo and do that. Let me back up and say that again. We're doing the Kickstarter from September, October. Mm-hmm. We do the Indiegogo from October into November. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people ask me, well, why don't you do both at the same time? And you know, mm-hmm. why are you doing one after the other? That kind of thing. And it's because, you know, as the primary person that's on those campaigns, that's interacting directly with the fans out there, I want to be able to focus on one platform at a time. I mean, there's definitely nothing that says that you can't do both at the same time. I mean, I guess if you wanted to, in theory, you could run both campaigns on the same dates. You know, you could have a Kickstarter. Personally, I don't recommend that. I think it's better just to focus on one and then the other. That's how I would do it. That's how we are doing it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you certainly could if you wanted to. I don't think the two platforms care if you're running the same project on both of them at the same time. No. I've never heard that they would. So
I wouldn't, because, you know, think of all the effort you have to put into a Kickstarter.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you got to do it for another platform at the same time. You know, then the old thing that you have to, you refresh the screen to see is anybody – you know, done it, and then you have the what I call the Kickstarter heart attack when you refresh, and nobody has backed you in a little while, and then you go, "Oh no, it's done. I'm never going to get anything."
Well,
I wouldn't do that.
It's the personal. I think you can give more personal interaction, mm-hmm. and that's really what these independent productions are all about. I mean, I've been on here. I don't know, this is like the third or fourth time I've been on the podcast here, and I love coming here. But I think I've always said it. I mean, the major advantage that the independent publishers and small publishers like me, for example, and the others out there, the major advantage we have over the big shops is, at least until our fan bases get, you know, way huge, which of course you always hope for. Mm-hmm. But I mean, until that happens, you can really have that, you know, personal one-on-one interaction with the fans. And I think that's what you can do. You can do more of that if you're doing your Kickstarter first and then your Indiegogo next. You have a chance more to focus on that interpersonal interaction between you and the people that are, you know, messaging you or asking you questions and stuff. It's a much more personal touch. And I enjoy doing that. I mean, that's why I'm in the independent comic production business anyway, is to be able to have that close personal relationship and interaction with the fans and the backers. And that's why I'm running the two campaigns, you know, separately, is to be able to focus on each one at a time and have more of that personal fan interaction.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. Now, is there a reason why you do the Kickstarter first?
I think it's just because, I mean, there really isn't. I think maybe it's just because when we started, oh my gosh, I think it was 2017, I think, was the first campaign for Astrogenesis. My God, has it really been that long? I can't believe it's been that long. I don't even remember it, but I think what it was is originally we had those September/October dates carved out for Genesis. And the dates worked out so well, we just took, you know, approximately, you know, the same date range the next time we did it for Evolution. Mm-hmm. And then for Alliance, which was the one we did last year, we just kept the same dates. And then we ran the Indiegogo after the Kickstarter. So we had the Kickstarter always going from September into October. And then just because I wanted to do one after the other, like I said, to focus, we did the Indiegogo, you know, after the Kickstarter ended. So it was October into November. And again, it seemed to work fine for Indiegogo. We got a lot of backers, and so it seemed to be very successful. So we just kept the same dates around this year. So just because the Kickstarter for Astral has always traditionally been from mid-September to mid-October, and then last year our Indiegogo was mid-October to mid-November, and it's always worked. It's never not worked, so we just kind of kept to that.
Yeah, don't mess with success.
Right. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right? I mean, that's
right.
Everybody says so.
That's what you do.
And people think, you know, well, you know, September's rolling around, it must be time for another Astral Kickstarter.
That's right. See, remember, comics are habitual,
right?
You know, people go on Wednesdays to buy comics and stuff like that, and a lot of our existence is done by habit.
And it's very addictive. It's very habit forming.
Yeah,
I completely agree.
Well, if the certain time of the year comes and you expect a book to come, and so you're like, where is that book? I know there's a book coming. So I think that's you've got a smart thing to do, and that's the way to do it, is, if it's successful, keep it going.
Yeah, sure. And we don't want to get out of here without mentioning to everyone who's still listening at this point, which if you're still listening to us through all this time, thank you very much. But, you know, can't forget the freebies. So I do want to tell everyone that whether you're looking at the Kickstarter campaign page, or if you're listening to this more in October, November timetable, and you're probably looking at the Indiegogo page, you can always, there's a green button in there that says, click this green button to download a free full, digital version of Astral Genesis graphic novel, and you can get a freebie just by doing that. So I would encourage everyone, if you're not familiar with Astral and you want to see how it all started in Astral Genesis, I do offer that. The first graphic novel, completely free, 100%, cover to cover, nothing omitted from it, just by clicking on that. You got to find that green button. You got to scroll down the page and find it. But if you click that, you can get it absolutely 100% free. No questions asked, no catch.
Yep. Which is good. Yep. So that's a good idea to allow people to sample it. Because some people they want to look at, especially if you're doing like a single issue, it may be different than a graphic novel. But if you can make it available so people can look at it and figure out, hey, I like this. Let me get the, because I'm that way. That's why I want the hardcovers, because I love the books. I want to have a good copy to keep. You know, and that's what that's all about. So I want all those. So.
That's true. And, you know, initially, I think we just had like a 30 or 40 page sampler when it was earlier in the series. But now that we've got, you know, we're going on our fourth book now. I see no problem with, you know, giving away the complete first graphic novel, the first adventure, because I think, you know, having a story from beginning to end that people can read and really get into the characters and get to know them, I think that's much more valuable and much more satisfying for people. And I truly believe, I mean, I wouldn't do it unless I truly believe that the people who would read Astral Genesis would absolutely fall in love with the characters as I have and Wayne, you have over the years and want to read more books in the series. And we certainly have that. So to everyone who out there who's downloaded Astral Genesis and read it, thank you for your interest, and thank you for reading our stories. And certainly anyone who's ever bought the series or, you know, bought the books, I mean, I can't tell you how thankful my team and I are for you out there supporting us. I mean, same thing with the Kickstarter and Indiegogo backers. You know, no matter where you got our books, whether it's crowdfunding, comic shop, you know, mail order, wherever. I mean, I just can't, I don't have the words to say how thankful we are that you're supporting our series, because, you know, Wayne, it's really come down to the fans that make it possible for these independent productions to continue. And I can tell you, there's absolutely no way we would have ever gotten as far as Astral Vengeance without the fans and backers supporting the series. So thank you.
Well, believe me, I like to support quality, and so it's really easy with your books.
Well, I appreciate that.
They're great books. Now, I got one thing. The way that I came across your books first was at a convention, or like a little convention at Acme Comics in, I think, Longwood, Florida was in there. So I'm just sort of curious, given the current climate of things, are you doing signings in conventions, or are you holding off for 2022 for that?
Well, no, that's a good – I'm glad you brought that up, because I really wanted to hit that topic if we had time. So let's talk about that a little bit. So this is what I've seen, and, I mean, your mileage may differ. I mean, it's different parts of the country, obviously, a little bit different happenings right now. But, you know, I'm in the Southeast. Astral Pet Piranha Galactic Headquarters is – or I should say Intergalactic Headquarters is Jacksonville, Florida, right? So I've done a lot of conventions in the Southeast. That's mainly where I, you know, where I can drive to. I haven't done much flying, but I can tell you what we saw was everything was normal. You know, lots of conventions going on, 2017, 2018, 2019, then 2020 hit. And I want to say the last convention we did in 2020 was Space Coast Comic Con. I'm pretty sure that was the last one we did. It might've been Collective Con the month after that. One of those two things, Collective Con. But then that's whenever, no, we didn't. Because that's when the COVID hit. So we did not do that one. We deferred on that one. So, and then there weren't, I mean, the conventions were being delayed and deferred and everything. And, you know, the way the conventions work, you probably remember this, Wayne. They just because of the way the economics and logistics work with conventions, they really couldn't refund people's money. Thank goodness the venues, a lot of them let the scheduling slip, instead of saying, well, you forfeit the money, which would have killed the conventions. So props to the venues who worked with the convention organizers to do that. But you know what happened, Wayne. I mean, we had almost nothing after February 2020. Everything went virtual or it got delayed and pushed forward. And then when we got into this year, 2021, things kind of started picking back up a little bit. I did, obviously a lot more in 2021 conventions mm-hmm. than I ever did in 2020, just because mm-hmm. we only did a couple at the first couple of months, and then it was, you know, canceled essentially for the rest of the year.
Right.
So yeah, there have been quite a few this year. I just got done doing a stretch. I did Ocala Comic Con, and I just got done doing Daytona Beach Comic Con at the Volusia County Fairgrounds. And that's another one that got a little weird because, you know, everyone who's gone to Daytona Beach knows it's usually at the ICI Emery-Riddle Center, but we had to move it to Volusia County Fairgrounds because the educational centers were shutting down, right? So that mm-hmm. venue went away. So it's a little strange. Mm-hmm. But then I've hit some early in the year as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, quite a few came up. But then, you know, now everybody's talking about, you know, variants of the virus out there. And mm-hmm. so now all of a sudden what I'm seeing, I don't know if you're seeing it, I guess it depends on the region of the country that you're in, but things are kind of cooling off again, and cons are getting canceled or delayed again. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm seeing is, so this kind of brings you all the full circle to the question you asked me, which is mm-hmm. how are the cons going now? Mm-hmm. And sure, you know, we had a bunch during 2021, and I've got a couple scheduled for early next year, January, February again. Mm-hmm. But then weirdly, or it's January, February, March, I think I got all through the first quarter of 2022. Mm-hmm. But then after that, you know, normally I would be reaching out or having emails with the organizers for like April, May, June, going into the summer by now, mm-hmm. and nothing. It's been quiet, you know, and I'm trying to find out, you know, are they booking the venues? Are they locking in the dates? I can't find any evidence that they are. So it looks to me like it's kind of everyone, they're not willing to say it's canceled or it's delayed, but no one's saying anything. It's like everything mm-hmm. went dead. There's a black hole. And I think, Wayne, what it is, I think it's just people waiting to see what's going to happen. You know, is mm-hmm. are we going to have more variants out there of, you know, the malady that are, mm-hmm. You know, causing problems and mm-hmm. having issues with large amounts of people getting together? Because if that happens, I think you might see a repeat of 2020 in 2022, where there might be a lack of physical, you know, conventions because you don't want to get a bunch of people together when you have a highly transmissible bug and all that. But that's what I'm seeing. So I'm good through like first quarter of 2022 on conventions. But then after that, it's not that I wouldn't book them. It's that they're just not out there. No one's talking yet. So I don't know what's going on, to be honest.
Well, there's two. My friend Richard Rivera, he's going to New York Comic Con. They're holding that in the same venue that they usually have it up, the Javits Center up there. And they're doing that, and he got a table in the Artist Alley. Okay. Last time we were there 2 years ago, we almost sold out of everything that we took, which was a great thing.
That's
and
crazy.
So we were anxious to go up there. Unfortunately, it may be that I won't get to go with him. But he's going to go up there. And the other thing that's going on that I'm puzzling over is San Diego Comic-Con, which they're holding on Thanksgiving weekend.
That's so crazy. And that's just nuts, isn't it? I just don't have to think about that.
I don't know. I'm like, I'm not sure who's going to actually go to that. I, you know, because see, Thanksgiving is usually time when families get together.
Yeah, for sure.
And so if you, unless you're a sci-fi fan or a comics family, you're likely not going to want to spend the whole weekend out in San Diego.
Well, you would either have to be a major comics and pop culture and movie fan, or you'd really have to hate your family.
Any reason to get away would be worth it.
I guess so, you know, but yeah, that's really strange. That's
so I'm not convinced that's actually going to happen yet. I'm going to wait and see, but you know, I'd love to go to New York. You know, I mean, Richard's been doing, he was at the one that you were up at Daytona.
Yeah. It's on there.
And there's several people doing there. And I mean, there are people going around. I've seen cons in Atlanta and cons in Dallas and cons in they're all over the place. People are going all over doing conventions. And, you know, you do the social distancing and you wear the masks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just got my booster shot. So I am, and that's what makes me sad. I'm probably not going to get to New York because I'm actually protected. I could go there and, you know, I'd wear my mask, but I'd be like, hey, what variant? What are you talking about? because I've got I got my booster shot, so I'm boosted.
Yeah, but, and you know, in terms of like the conventions themselves, I mean, I didn't really get into how they were, but I did see Richard at Ocala. He was at Ocala, and then I saw him the other week at Daytona, and. You know, the conventions, at least for me, I can only speak for myself. They've been a little up and down, but I'll say we did Tallahassee over the summer. We did Cairo, Georgia, at the end of July. And those conventions were popping pretty good. I mean, those were good ones. Ocala was extremely good. We sold out at Ocala. And then Daytona, you know, not so hot for me, but, you know, a lot of people did well, and I didn't do bad. So, I mean, yeah, it seems like people are back. They're buying stuff. It hasn't really been – you know, since we came back from all this in 2021, since 2020, I can't say I've had a bad convention. I mean, I've had some that were so-so, but nothing that I would say is really bad. So, you know, I guess that's good. Yeah.
See, New York interests me because that's my favorite convention.
Sure, sure.
I go there and I find people, I talk with people about for the podcast. I set up people. I come across stuff I've never heard of before that I'm interested in. So I love that. So if I can't get to go, I'm going to be really disappointed. But looking right now, I'm not going to make it. But Richard will still go. So he might, if I tell him, hey, look for this and look for that. But, you know, you come across in the aisles and you see something that you didn't know was there. And that's the kind of thing I love about New York. I just, especially Artist Alley. My gosh, that's an amazing Artist Alley. Shouldn't call it Artist Alley because there's like writers. Like Richard's as a writer, so he's not really an artist. But I would like to see it called Creators Alley or something.
Yeah, like that. That's what it's almost like a celebrity Creators Alley with
Or something. Because you know, it's the Artist Alley to me makes things, and a lot of people go there looking for art. And that's fine, but there's a lot of people like I said, we went there and we had a Stabby Rafter, which was like a spinoff of Stabby Bunny. We sold through that a couple of times. We had these display copies, and we kept putting the display copies out. And they say, "Well, can we buy that?" And we're like, "Well, yeah, I guess it's kind of beat up. We'll take it."
Yeah, I know, right? I know.
Okay. we did that twice or three times. We sold through the display copies, and we were like, holy smoke. Yeah. We're not used to that.
I know.
So that was something really special. So as far as New York goes, I hope it's a success because I'd like to see that convention. Particularly that one continue. I like to see that.
Certainly. And same thing here. I mean, I love seeing the fans. I'm glad the fans have come back, you know. Glad to see it. I hope we don't have to have another slowdown in 2022. I mean, I certainly don't want to. Although I probably, you know, just from my own perspective, because we're almost certainly going to be doing more next year with the crowdfunding on Kickstarter and Indiegogo. I don't know if that's going to impact our convention appearances. It might scale them back just a bit, so we might not do as much next year anyway, but we're definitely going to focus on the crowdfunding because that's been so successful. And you know, with the crowdfunding, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I'm just going to mention, you know, with the crowdfunding, you can do a lot more. Like we just did this past week, it's over now, but R.B. White did a limited cover for us with Lila. Looks pretty hot, you know, and he was running a campaign for his art book. So it gave us an opportunity to do like a promotional with him where if you pledge his art book and you pledge, you know, his cover on Astro Vengeance, you can get $10 off your pledge. And I should mention, we're doing the same thing. And this one should currently be going on as long as our Kickstarter is up when your listeners are hearing it. But we're doing one with Bill Walco too, since he did Galaxy Gal and he did Punisher cover for us. If you pledge, you know, Bill's cover with our Astro Vengeance campaign, you pledge for one of his Hero Business print books, you get $5 bucks off. So, I mean, we can work those promotionals, probably be doing a few more, which is something that it's a lot more challenging, I think, to do at the physical, you know, conventions. But
well, the thing that's important for people to know is how to keep track of what you're up to. And the way to do that, I think, is social media. How do we follow and know that if you're going to do con appearances, if you're going to signings, Kickstarters, how do we keep up with you on those things?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, you know, best way is to hit the website. So I've got a couple of redirects to that. So petpiranhaentertainment.com, of course, probably one of the only creators that picked a representative animal like a piranha that nobody knows how to spell. So we've got a bunch of redirects. So astrogenesis.com, if you just go to astrogenesis.com, you hit our webpage. And I did the same thing because, and hopefully I'm not giving too much away here, but I did mention we're looking at maybe doing a spin-off comic next year for Galaxy Gal. So another one that redirects to our same website is galaxygalcomic.com. So those three redirects will put you to the same place. And then we got the banners up. We got the buttons that straight link to the crowdfunders. And then there's like menu items where you can click to buy books on our merchant site, which is Shop Pet Piranha. And there's also a menu item for appearances. And so if you click on appearances, that's got my schedule on it, shows where we're going to be. So you can keep us, keep up with us there. Yeah.
Very cool. All kind of good stuff. Well, again, it's Astral Vengeance, issue number one. As we're speaking, you've already passed the amount you needed, which is a great success. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
And this is all going to conclude by Friday, October 15th, 11 p.m. And then you're going to, you said 4 days later, you're going to have an Indiegogo going on.
Yes.
But I wouldn't wait for the Indiegogo, though. I would get it in the Kickstarter. Let's get it done now while we can. So go to the Kickstarter and do that. But, hey, if you want to go to Indiegogo, sure. Let's have that be a big success, too. I think that would be a good thing because this is a great book.
Thank you.
So I can tell you is, Jay, just keep it up, doing wonderful stuff. And how many? I hope you do a whole bunch of astral graphic novels and stories after this one because I really enjoy them.
Well, we're certainly planning on it, so we're not going to disappoint in that area if I have anything to say about it anyway. But before we go, I did want to just say thank you, Wayne, to you for having me back on again. This is like the fourth, or I can't – lost track of how many times I've been here, but I always have a good time with you. So thanks for having me on, and I want to be sure and thank all your listeners that have bared with us all the way to this point. It's really good to connect with people, and it's really a thrill to be here with you and have all your listeners – hearing all about Astral, and thanks for letting me shamelessly promote once again on your podcast.
It's always a pleasure.
And that's it for this episode. Be back next time. I'll have another great interview with an excellent comics creator, something I'm sure you won't want to miss. But until then, keep reading your comics.